Keep this frequency clear. Keep this frequency clear.
CJAM. Redefining radio in Windsor, Detroit. We are 99.1 FM.
Keep this frequency clear.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Magna Carta Pro Bono Radio Show on CJAM 99.1 FM. Thank you so much for listening to us today. My name is Erin Pervin.
And my name is Marie Doyle, and we will be your hosts for today on behalf of Pro Bono Students Canada. If you were able to catch Magna Carta's episode last Friday, thank you so much for listening in again. If you weren't able to catch the show, you can give it a listen on CJAM's website, www.cjam.ca, and it will be located in the archives. Last week, we had a great show from Natalie and Michael. They talked about youth issues in the community, so we highly recommend that you give them a listen.
And before we begin our show today, as always, just a quick disclaimer. Anything we say on this show is the opinion of ourselves only and doesn't reflect the opinions of CJAM as a radio station. Neither of us are lawyers. We're both students at the law school at the University of Windsor. And as such, nothing we say should be considered legal advice.
And again, as we've said many times, we were both volunteers with Pro Bono Students Canada. So for anyone listening who hasn't heard about PBSC, it's the first pro bono organization in Canada. And this show is just one of the many programs that PBSC organizes. And the organization aims to help train future lawyers with practical experience while also increasing access to justice and promoting pro bono work within the profession. And so all projects you hear about on Magna Carta are run by students under the supervision of a lawyer.
And speaking about Pro Bono Students Canada, they will be hosting a silent auction very soon, February 6th. So we just want to give you a little information about that in case you're interested. It's for a great cause, as all the proceeds go towards one of our projects that Pro Bono Students Canada puts on. So you can come around, it's open between 6 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. to make bids.
And there will be light refreshments.
Yes, there will be light refreshments.
Free of cost.
Of course. So attending is free, but making a bid on a silent in the auction, you might win something pretty cool. So
yeah. So definitely try to get out to that February 6th again.
And that's at the Foundry at 6 p.m. So the auction's open to the public, so if you're looking to take a little break from work or school, it's a great way to socialize. Hopefully you win something.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, by the way, Marie, this is our first show after the winter break. How was your break?
It was great. It was awesome. It was so nice to just not have any readings or homework.
Very true.
Yeah, it felt long, though. How did it feel for you?
It was long-ish, I guess. I'm not used to having 2 weeks off, so I shouldn't complain about having time off. Oh, yeah, 3 weeks? So I only had 2 weeks.
What?
Oh, my last exam was the 21st, I think.
Okay. Mine was the 17th.
But yeah, it's hard to find things to do after a while, I guess, but did you do anything special?
Nothing in particular, just a lot of dinner plans outings and stuff that just kind of almost got tiring by the end of it, so maybe that's why it felt so long. Okay. You know, I just wanted to sit in my bed all day, but...
Yeah. I just kind of worked a bit and watched Netflix and stuff like that.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, it's good to have a chance to reconnect with people after.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because we spend a lot of time, you know, at school and, and everything else, so you kind of... It's not that you forget that there's people you need to be connecting with, but, like, at some point you can't manage everything and balance everyone, right? So it's good to have a chance to get back to everyone.
Yeah, I felt pretty MIA for the past few months just with, like, school and stuff. So definitely getting back to Toronto and seeing my friends was nice.
Yeah. So. And, like, it's probably harder, right, not being from Windsor, since I'm from Windsor. So
yeah,
it's a little easier to stay connected.
So today we will be discussing the work that our pro bono volunteers are doing this year with the Career Services project.
And just to give you a quick spiel about the project, just to let you know what our volunteers, who we will be speaking to soon, we're working on. They assisted the Windsor Law's Social Justice Career Coordinator with preparing Windsor Law's annual Justice at Work program and researching the conference speakers and organizations. And in the winter semester, they will also be doing a literature review of social justice job postings to see how the requirements for the postings are similar or different throughout the field of law. So I'm looking forward to an interesting interview with our volunteers.
It should be really interesting. The Justice at Work conference was actually last week on January 16th.
Mm-hmm. And you attended, right?
Yeah,
Mary?
Well, yeah. I just got to attend the morning part. So it started off with a panel. And so we had three different lawyers come in to speak on the panel. And so first there was Asha James, who is a partner at Falcons LLP and also was a graduate from the dual program here at Windsor Law. And there's also Lisa Sharp, who is a family law practitioner for the Ottawa Fertility Law.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And thirdly, there was Deepa Matu, who... is a director of legal services at the Barbara Schiffler Clinic. And there was supposed to be a fourth panelist named David Estrin, but he was unable to make it because we had some Skype technical difficulties. But
my environmental law class, we had him in as a speaker.
Oh, nice. Once.
Yeah, very interesting stuff to say. If you're into environmental law at all, definitely check him out because he's a big player in Canadian environmental law.
Awesome.
David Estrin.
Yeah, so, the panel, it was an hour and a half or so, and it was actually really good. Like, they just gave a lot of advice that was actually really helpful. Like, as I was thinking about it, I was, like, writing notes. I was like, ooh, this is good stuff. Yeah, I'll share a little bit. So, basically, one of the things that Asha was talking about is the importance of, like, having a mentor and, like, while you're in law school, having someone in your corner who can, like, vouch for you, like some sort of, you know, like a professor, an academic, someone you've worked for, someone you've volunteered for, just that you can have. And, like, if you talk to them and say, like, oh, this is what I'm interested in, if they know someone, they can, like, try to connect you to that person.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that was, like, it's really valuable. And she was even saying, like, herself, she does that. Like, if she has a student that she, like, knows and can describe, like, personality traits, like, she'll do that for them, and that, like, gives them an advantage, right?
Yeah. So I think it's really helpful because there's so much that we don't know. Like, even as a second year, I feel like I know more than my first year, but I know there's still so much that is, you know, like foreign to me about practicing law or studying law. So having someone that can help you out, like, even just you personally, not just as, you know, as your professor, but also have, like, a personal connection with, I think that'd be really great.
Yeah, for sure. And then another thing that she was talking about, which kind of was helpful for me because, you know, when you think about getting an articling position or getting some sort of summer employment, I feel like a lot of people, even myself, like you get hung up on exactly like, oh, it has to be this kind of law. It has to be here and there and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But like what she was trying to stress is articling, or even just like before articling, if you're just working in the summer, the importance of those opportunities are more so to like build your legal technician skills. So like you don't necessarily mm-hmm. need to be in the place that you want to be, but you just need to be working on those skills, and you need to like try to be somewhere where you know that they're gonna pay attention to the details and mm-hmm. you know, like help you build those skills. So
even just learning how to write a memo or do research, mm-hmm,
exactly,
it's
yeah.
very complicated. Like it's not a quick Google search isn't
yeah
gonna help no. you out most of the time. So
mm-hmm. and like, because obviously the topics, this was they were talking about social justice work, right? So mm-hmm. she was just saying, like, before you can be an advocate, you have to be a legal technician. Because right. the only way you're going to be effective is if you can properly convey your ideas
right.
in a legal format. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, I thought that was helpful. And it kind of, like gives you a bit of relief that, well, not even that, though, because then there is the stress of, like, making sure you're in the right place that is going to give you those skills. Mm-hmm. But the relief in that, like, articling doesn't have to be your career, right?
True. So. Yeah, yeah. Any experience is good experience
exactly.
for someone with no experience. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. And then, so actually, another thing off of that point that Deepa was talking about is, again, like even if you're not working for a firm whose purpose is like solely social justice, that doesn't mean that you can't still bring those ideals into the workplace. And mm-hmm. it's almost like a good thing. Like if you're working for a firm and you're realizing like, oh, like they're not doing this or they're mm-hmm. not addressing these issues, like you can do that. Like you can be that person to bring in your social justice ideals. So yeah, so you don't have to be like hung up on being like, oh, well, I'm not an environmental firm, for an example, but mm-hmm. you can bring those ideals into another firm that's lacking. So.
That's fair. I mean, like mm-hmm. everyone needs representation, right? So whether, yeah. for instance, in an employment case, you could be on the employee side or the employer side. Mm-hmm. But even when you're on the employer side, you could still bring, you know, some of those ideals.
Yeah.
Into it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought that was helpful because that's another thing that I know I'm sure a lot of people struggle with, like not being necessarily with a firm that's social justice like directed. It's
yeah.
like you're doing just as much good if you're bringing that somewhere else, you know? So
yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah, I thought that was really helpful. So another thing that the some of the panelists brought up, which is important, and which I think you probably ask yourself this a few times throughout your career or your even just as a student, but mm-hmm. The question of like, what does social justice mean to you personally? Because of course it can take many different forms, and like, yeah, just understanding what it means to you is important, and seeing like how you want to apply it in your career. So Aaron, what does social justice mean to you?
Oh, good question. I think this is a term that we hear a lot, but maybe we mm-hmm. don't really think about what it actually means so much, right? Mm-hmm. We just kind of assume what it might,
right,
what it means. To me, I think it's approaching an issue like with this mindset at looking for inequalities in mm-hmm. a system, for example. For instance, you might look at how there could be a single law, but when it's applied to different people, the results are very different for whatever reason, right? Because mm-hmm. of some inequality in the system. So I think, at least when you are looking at it from a legal standpoint, I think that's what social justice would mean.
Right. For me, I guess kind of going off of what you said, I kind of think of it in, so I don't know. For me, I feel like a lot of things, policy changes, whatever it is, they're made often and people just automatically assume that they're being done for the good of everyone. You know, we just kind of assume, oh, if the government or if our legal system is making these changes or mm-hmm. like enforcing these things, then they must be like equal, they must be just, and
right.
so for
it's
me
called the justice system after all,
exactly. It's who is it, there's a professor at the university that won't call it the justice system.
Oh really?
I think it's Professor Jacobs, I don't know, I forget. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she says, oh, it should be called the legal system, which is very good point.
Yeah, sometimes. I can see that point for sure.
But yeah, so for me, social justice is like criticizing, or not necessarily criticizing, but like being critical of things to ensure, not just assume that they're just.
Yeah, so. It's like a critical theory.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. So I just feel like never just take things as you're told.
Sure, yeah.
To always make sure that they're actually like,
yeah,
informing social justice.
So. And how a law appears on paper isn't always how it's actually going to, you know, that doesn't include how it's going to actually affect people
exactly.
in real life, right? Mm-hmm.
There's always like, not always, but there often is a gap between how something is supposed to be enforced and how it actually is enforced.
True.
So that's,
maybe this is controversial, but do you think that the word is politicized or overly
the word?
Yeah, social justice. Is it a political word? Is it a left word? Is it a right word? Is it neutral?
Yeah, I feel like it definitely can be politicized and like misused, you know, like kind of just used as like a blanket statement for things that aren't necessarily what they are, you know?
At least in like, I don't know, pop culture and on the internet mm-hmm. and stuff, you'll see stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
But at least from a legal perspective, it, you know, there's real ramifications for people who might be unequally affected by laws, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could see like different social groups, different demographics, and how law affects them negatively while it benefits other people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so hopefully our volunteers will give us some more insight on how they're trying to bridge these gaps that we're referring to, and yeah, a little bit about the work that they do. Hopefully will give light to this conversation.
For sure. So we're just going to take a very short break. We'll be right back with our interview with Lauren Stokes, a volunteer with Pro Bono Students Canada, and Katie Bean, who is the Social Justice Career Coordinator at the University of Windsor. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're here today with our volunteer, Lauren Stokes, and also the organizing supervisor and social justice career coordinator, Katie Bean, at the Faculty of Law. So they both worked on the Justice at Work Conference, which is part of the Career Services project that Pro Bono Students Canada is working on this year. How are you both doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for asking.
Awesome.
I'm doing well.
Great. All right, so maybe just an introduction. Give your names, a little bit about yourself, what brought you to the university, or what brought you to be the career counselor here.
I'm Katie Bean. I work in the law school's career services office as the social justice career coordinator. I'm actually originally from the U.S., and I went to Northeastern for law school. Northeastern is one of the top public interest law schools in the U.S. So this transition to social justice career coordinator was pretty natural for me.
Nice.
Yeah. Before coming to Windsor, I did four co-ops at Northeastern. Three of them were with public interest organizations. One was with a private firm. And even that one, they do a lot of work with municipalities. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of public interest exposure. And upon graduation, I went to work for the Legal Aid and Defender Association in Detroit, helping indigent clients with a variety of legal issues. I ended up moving over here after marrying a Canadian.
Of course.
Yeah, married a Windsorite. And commuting across the border got old pretty quick, as I'm sure dual JD students understand. And so I ended up looking for opportunities over here and was very excited to see something where I could continue making a difference for social justice, but just from a different angle.
That's quite the varied experience. That's really cool.
Yeah, didn't
know
very
about, interesting. You know, your CV was that inclusive. Yeah. How about you, Lauren? What can you tell us about yourself?
Okay, that is quite hard to follow up. My name is Lauren Stokes. I'm a first-year law student here at Windsor Law. I'm in the single JD program. Before moving to Windsor, I was born and raised in St. John's, Newfoundland, and I completed my undergrad at Memorial University in Newfoundland. Mm-hmm. During that time, my interest in law was really sparked when I started working at the Newfoundland Labrador House of Assembly as a research intern. I ended up moving to Windsor in 2015 to complete a master's here at the university, both in political science, and there my interest in law kind of just grew. Mm-hmm. So once completing that program, I applied for the law school here. So I work part-time as a research assistant on campus as well, so this kind of went well with that, because it's also more of a research-oriented project.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
That's what you would say, like, made you want to volunteer with pro bono, was just that?
I'd say my interests always align on more of the research side of things.
Right.
So I thought that pro bono was a really great volunteer opportunity to kind of get more involved in legal research as a volunteer opportunity.
Awesome. So Katie, you're you're the social justice career coordinator. What made you want to work in this area, like, from the beginning? What was...
Like I said, Northeastern's one of the top public interest law schools.
Right.
And there's an excellent atmosphere there that I think gets you get a lot of at Windsor, of just a strong dedication to social justice. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of infectious. So during my time at Northeastern, I got a chance to explore my interest in social justice. And working for the Legal Aid and Defender Association, I really got a chance to see the injustices that clients are facing when they're dealing with poverty. So that's what got me interested in this area and made me really passionate about it.
Awesome, thank you.
Lauren, to play off a bit of the question from earlier, was there any special significance of this project for you specifically? I know you didn't really choose the project, but is there any significance that you feel?
Absolutely, thank you for asking. I had heard about the Justice at Work conference from previous years, and I thought it was definitely a really interesting conference to see the different positions involved in social justice. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that as a potential volunteer opportunity to get involved in the project, I definitely wanted to take the opportunity to get involved in any way. So that's definitely why it was one of my top choices.
Okay. And are you considering like an area, or maybe practicing in a legal area that is related to social justice at all?
My opinion on that's definitely still open. I haven't really decided what area
for
of law
sure, yeah.
I'm going to practice in, but of course it would be great to be able to practice in an area of law that would help other people, which mm-hmm. a lot of these positions definitely do.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And remember, like, the keynote at Justice at Work said, adopt a social justice mindset no matter what you do, so
right.
that you can make a difference in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, I really liked that mm-hmm. when she said that, because it just made me think, like, you don't have to necessarily be, like, in a social justice, like, focused firm, but, like, if you, mm-hmm. you yourself bring that into it, then it's like you're making a difference
yeah.
in that itself.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. So in regards to the Justice at Work conference, what is your project about? So what do you guys each specifically do?
Well, I mean, I coordinate the conference.
Right.
There's a lot, I won't bore you, with everything I do for Justice at Work, but what I do in working with PBSC is I set up a Google Doc and then supervise the creation of the brochure that I have in my hand right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very happy with how the brochure came out this year. PBSC always does a great job. It's thanks to PBSC that we have all the content for the brochure. There are a lot of people coming to Justice at Work and a lot of organizations participating, and PBSC's role is to help with getting this together so that students coming to the conference have an idea of who they want to talk to and can find people easily to go make the connections that will help them later in their career.
Mm-hmm. I loved the clothing that you guys sold this year. I bought one of those t-shirts, the ones that with like Justice at Work.
Yeah.
So cute. Yes. I love how it was like embroidered, like it was like stitched. So
yeah,
yeah, it was really nice.
A big shout out to Julia Kushner. She's the creator of that design. And,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. So it was new? Like it wasn't...
Well, she did it last year as well. Okay. I think we're actually going to skip next year just because the sales were a little bit down this year compared mm-hmm. to last year. But I think that's just... Students have been really great about creating merchandise right now, and I think there's maybe some merchandise overwhelm, like overload.
That's true.
Yeah. So I love all the stuff. I'm like, yes, give me things to wear so I can be proud of, you know, Windsor Law. Uh-huh. But I think it's just getting to be maybe an overload. But so I think we'll definitely bring those back in the future, but I think we'll just skip a year with those.
Glad I got mine this year then.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So Lauren, what about your duties and what you worked on through PBSC?
Mm-hmm. My role was mostly to kind of research the people that were going to be involved in the conference. So that involved going to their firm's websites, things like that, to get information, to kind of collect like a biography for each attendee. If they did not have an About Me on their firm website or anything like that, it involved kind of finding their LinkedIn and creating one that would be approved by Katie, of course, to go into the program, and just trying to help facilitate in any way of that. And also on the day of conference, I kind of helped with the registration in the morning and kind of setting up with whatever was needed during that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. It was great having the PBSC students throughout the day to help with whatever came up. So besides the brochure, I definitely appreciate their help on the day of the conference.
Can you guys tell us a little bit about the legal areas or topics that were covered at the conference?
Sure. I will talk about the keynote speaker because I just thought she did just a wonderful job. I thought it was such an interesting presentation she made. So that was Jacqueline Swisland of Wallman & Associates, and she was discussing career advice for working on migration issues. Her practice encompasses all areas of Canadian citizenship, immigration, and refugee law. She's also the co-founder and the Toronto coordinator of the Refugee Sponsorship Support Program. I just thought her talking about her career path was just incredibly interesting. Mm-hmm. How she didn't plan on going into refugee and immigration law, mm-hmm. and it just kind of ended up how she fell into that job, but then ended up being such a wonderful career for her, and she managed to start this wonderful program, and it just kind of showed that to not choose your path too quickly and kind of consider the options as your experience goes. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was just such a wonderful presentation.
So in the panel, the students on the committee, we always kind of brainstorm what we think students would be interested in coming to. So the keynote speaker, it seems like we hit a good spot with the idea of migration being a topic that's in the news a lot right now, and that being something that students would be interested in coming to. Turns out that the students were right on that. We had 73 people come to the keynote.
Awesome.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great.
We had, for the panel, we had the idea of hot topics in law, so mm-hmm. but that was mainly as a way to encompass all the areas that we were interested in within one panel. So previously we've had like the spectrum of social justice or how mm-hmm. to make a difference with your law degree. So it's sort of, we always are trying to find topics for our panels that will allow us to bring varied practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
So this year the practitioners who came were people who are making a difference in preventing gender-based violence and helping victims, holding the state accountable for over-policing and for other race issues that come up with policing, and LGBTQ rights as far as reproductive justice goes. Mm-hmm. We also had a speaker who was going to be talking about climate change, but unfortunately we had a technical problem with our video conferencing and it just didn't work out.
Right. It happens sometimes.
Yeah. And the career fair had 17 different organizations represented.
Oh.
So they had quite a variety of different areas of practice, including family law, child protection, mm-hmm. Environmental law. We, you know, if you were interested in environmental law, we're sad to have the speaker not able to attend. We mm-hmm. did have the Canadian Environmental Law Association represented at the career fair. And we even had a transitional home for Muslim women and children fleeing domestic violence there, seeking volunteers, Michigan Legal Help from the U.S., just quite a variety of different opportunities.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
So the Career Fair represent organizations not just from Canada, then also international?
That's right. We try.
That's cool. Yeah,
we try to have an American organization or two come. So this year we had the Sugar Law Center for Economic Justice come, as well as the as well as Michigan Legal Help. Sorry, it's the Sugar Law Center for Economic and Social Justice.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the past, we've also had my old organization, the Legal Aid and Defender Association, come, and just we try to get a good variety of American content as well.
And Lauren, if I can touch on what you mentioned earlier about the speaker on migration and how that area of law found her, I found that interesting because I guess there is a lot of pressure as students, right, to kind of know what you want to study. I hear that so much from, you know, like family at holidays and stuff. So it's good to hear that there are people who are really passionate about an area that actually found them after school.
Absolutely. And even when she was beginning her speech, she was saying how she was so set on constitutional law at the beginning of her career. Mm-hmm. And it just ended up in a way that it didn't work out for her in that field. But it ended up, honestly, when she was saying it, seemed like she was so passionate about refugee and migration that it was the perfect path for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of lucky that she was able to open herself up to that opportunity, or maybe such things as the refugee sponsored support program wouldn't be there if she wasn't able to take that step to a new career.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing with the panelists, or the panel at the beginning of the conference. Like, all three of them like had an idea of what they wanted to do, and then by the end of their career they were in like a completely different spot. So that's definitely kind of like relieving to hear that, like, I don't need to know what I want to do right now. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I think a lot of students put a lot of pressure on themselves, especially when they're seeking articling. There's this idea that if you article in private practice, you'll never be able to transition to public. And if you do a public interest articling position, you'll never get into a private firm. Or, you know, whatever area you practice, that's what you're doing for the rest of your career. And, I mean, your career is a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that, I think that students who are feeling that pressure aren't really thinking it through and realizing just how much time you have as a lawyer where you can evolve.
Yeah, there's just so many different opportunities for lawyers, like different ways that you can use your knowledge. So, yeah, it's definitely going to change. It's not going to be the same thing for your whole life, most likely.
Nothing stays the same. I know we touched on this already a little bit, but were there other speakers that, I guess, really spoke to you or you know, on an issue that really affected you?
I will talk about one of them for sure. In the panel in the morning, I thought everything that Lisa Sharp was saying, she was representing the Ottawa Fertility Law and Sharp Family Law organizations. Everything she's saying was just things I had not thought of before.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of representing like non-nuclear families and fertility disputes and how unique it is depending on which parent you're representing.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of the experience of that. It was just the area of law I had not even really thought about, and how diverse it is changing in modern times. And I thought she touched on that in a really interesting way.
Mm-hmm. Her career was also really interesting too. She was speaking about how like she's like a private lawyer, and she like chooses basically what cases she wants to take on, because like she was saying that she couldn't really get that if she were to work for someone else. So I thought that was really interesting. Like it seemed like she got a lot of very interesting cases by doing that. So can you guys tell us a little bit more about the access to justice side of your project?
So our project, the Justice at Work Conference, its connection to access to justice is that it's helping students see how they can improve access to justice. So it's helping students to get connections with organizations that are working on access to justice and social justice issues, and helping them to meet practitioners that really they might not ever think to reach out to.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we bring together 18 different practitioners to be able to speak with students, you know, and this conference was a great chance for students to just have like candid conversations with people who are doing work that they want to do in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think students get a chance to try to plan how they're in their careers, they can improve access to justice.
So the second part of your project involves a literature review. So can you tell us a bit more about what that's going to involve? I know you haven't done it yet, but give us a bit of a preview.
So the literature review is so that I can get better insight into what social justice employers are looking for in their student applicants by really taking advantage of the data that we have from Simplicity. So every time that a job gets entered onto Simplicity, it gets saved in our archive job database. Right. And I've pulled a bunch of jobs from that database so that the students in the from PBSC can look through those postings and see what similarities and differences there are across positions and try to see how does, you know, what is a clinic looking for? What are different kinds of employers looking for? And that way I'll be better able to say, you know, to students, you know, this isn't just my intuition that this is what they're what these employers want. I actually have this literature review done by PBSC showing me these are the specific skills that came up frequently in job postings.
And just to clarify for listeners, Simplicity is a site where the other legal firms and organizations can post their jobs that they have available, right?
That's right.
Okay. Do you have any expectations about what PBSC might find when going and looking through these different application or job availabilities?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing is that I've included some sort of specialty clinics in among the job postings. So I expect that with those postings, they'll be seeing that they value experience with it with the particular community that they work with. So, for example, if you were going to work for SALCO, the South Asian Legal Clinic of Ontario, I would expect, you know, language skills to come up, you know, or involvement with the South Asian community to be a plus. And so, you know, you've also got HALCO, the HIV and AIDS Legal Clinic of Ontario. So experience working with HIV and AIDS in the past, you know, working with people who have HIV and AIDS would be valuable. So that's something. But also just an ability to have empathy is really important in social justice. Many times you're working with clients and you're the first person who's ever really listened to their story. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be something that comes up, but, you know, there are also many skills that I expect to see that are common between, social justice postings and, you know, private law firm postings. Mm-hmm. So strong research and writing skills.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm. So now just some concluding questions. What does social justice mean to you? How would you define it?
To me, I would just define social justice as fairness. Kind of access to justice in terms of opportunities, in terms of their rights being to be protected, everything like that.
So generally, social justice is a concept promoting equality and equal opportunity among everyone in a society and encouraging lawyers to think critically about their work in a social context. So that's a very broad definition. Mm-hmm. And I'm very much in agreement with the keynote speaker, Jackie Swaysland, that social justice isn't something that's limited to a particular field of law. Not a, you know, you don't have to practice a certain type of law to be able to bring social justice into your work.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know? True. Mm-hmm.
It can come in many forms, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Definitely.
That's
yeah.
what we want.
All right. So, Katie, these last questions are for you. Do you have any recommendations for students who might be interested in pursuing a social justice career path in law?
Well, one thing is take advantage of the resources that we have for you. Right. I have done a presentation on skills and competencies for social justice careers, and I believe that's available in the document library of Simplicity, the program that we mentioned earlier. So if you haven't navigated the document library, like there's actually quite a bit there. It's worth checking out. Also check out the public interest guide that I created. It's available in the document library, and if you have any trouble finding it, I have hard copies in my office.
Awesome.
So those are two kind of tangible steps. But also just, you know, come meet with me. Like, I always want to talk to students. I love getting to know students and learning what they want to pursue and helping them really strategize their job search. Social justice covers so many different areas, it's kind of hard to say one strategy that's going to work. But, I mean, besides coming to talk to me, talk to people, you know, generally. Mm-hmm. Like, there is no reason to be shy. Go ahead and reach out to lawyers. If you see somebody that, you know, is doing work that you think would be really exciting, you know, you can reach out to them and do an informational interview, basically a coffee chat, to get to learn about what they do. One of our speakers at the Justice at Work conference actually talked about that, how she really advocated that students reach out to her. You know, she was saying that they don't have positions that are paid for students, but that she is always happy to talk to students and give them advice. And a lot of lawyers have, you know, goodwill to students who are looking for what they want to do with their career. I personally found when I was looking for a job that lawyers were pretty willing to do informational interviews with me. And it's really because of informational interviewing that I ended up getting the job that I had in Michigan. I did an informational interview with a lawyer because I reached out to him because he was doing municipal law work, which is something that really interests me. And he connected me to his friend, who connected me to his friend, who happened to be the chief counsel at the Legal Aid and Defender Association. And when I spoke with her, she was very happy to take me on as a volunteer. And after a month of volunteering, they hired me on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I hadn't reached out, I wouldn't have gotten that job. Mm-hmm. So I think that students get really stressed out about all the academic work that they have to do, and it's it's important.
There's so much more. We have to stress about more than just that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, academics, extracurriculars. There's always you guys are constantly busy.
And coffee dates with lawyers.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying is, you know, try to make time for those coffee dates because, you know.
Yeah, and one of the panelists, she was saying, like, oh, treat it like a date. Like, do your research. Don't just, like, show up and, like, not have any questions.
Yeah, so. For sure. And always be very thankful. Like, it's important to show that you that you appreciate people's time. That's something that can come through even when you're starting to schedule the informational interview. You know, if they say, well, I'm available at this time, and you say, oh, then, you know, that just doesn't work for me. Mm. You're already showing that you don't really value their time. So I don't remember if I mentioned that there's actually a guide to how to do informational interviews. There's a handout on Simplicity.
Okay.
So, you know, check out that document library. Sure. There's a lot there.
These are all things I need to check out
when
I go home today. So thank you for telling us about these. Final question. So what other, conferences or programs might be coming up that our listeners can attend if they want to learn more about the area of law?
Well, I've got the International Law Series going on. That's a partnership between the Career Services Office and the International Law Society. We've had one of those so far, and I believe we have six coming up.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So they're throughout the term, and it's a mixture of in-person and Skype events. Thankfully, the Skype tends to work. because it's in the law building, so, you know, for some reason, the Ambassador Auditorium just seems to be cursed for video conferencing. So we're going to have a variety of those happening. I definitely recommend coming. We just had one, actually, at the start of the term. I don't know if you guys saw that we had an international trade lawyer come talk to students.
Okay,
so that was pretty cool, getting to hear about her work on different trade agreements. On March 1st, there's going to be the Public Interest Day in Toronto that's planned by Osgoode, University of Toronto, MAG, and Windsor Law. Mm-hmm. But when I say MAG, I mean the Ministry of the Attorney General. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be happening in Toronto, and we encourage students to go to that. It's a great chance. There are going to be 40 different ministry offices represented.
What day was that, sorry?
It's March 1st.
March 1st.
Yeah, 40 different offices of MAG represented it, and about 15 other employers also represented. So it's going to be a really big day.
Chances are you're going to like something you hear there, right?
Yeah, for sure. So that's happening. And then there's Career Day for Windsor Law at Caesars, and that's on March 6th. That has some public interest employers represented as well. As far as panels go, on February 4th, there is a labor and employment law panel, and that includes a clinic lawyer represented as well. And on March 13th, we're going to have a diversity panel with three different jurists coming to talk about their experiences. So I think that's we've got a pretty packed.
That's a lot.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah. That's
But thank you so much for coming. I think that's all of our questions. Is there anything you want to add?
Not really.
Yeah, we covered everything.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Katie and Lauren, for showing up today. It was a very bitterly cold day, so we appreciate you coming out.
Yeah, bravely cold. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back after this this song, I think. Yeah, let's play a song.
One, two, three, four.
Talking every telephone, get eaten off the web. Must rip out all the epilogues in the books that we have read. Into the face of every criminal, strapped firmly to a chair. We must stare, we must stare, we must stare. We must take all of the medicines, too expensive now to sell. Set fire to the preacher who is promising us hell. Into the ear of every anarchist that sleeps but doesn't dream. We must sing, we must sing, we must sing. It'll go like this, alright. While my mother waters plants, my father loads his gun. He says death will give us back to God, just like the setting sun. Is return to the lonesome ocean. And then they splashed into the deep blue sea. Oh, it was a wonderful splash. Into the choir, sing a static with the whole. Must memorize nine numbers and deny we have a soul. Into this endless race for property and privilege to be won. We must run, we must run, we must run. We must hang up in the belfry where the bats and moonlight laugh. We must stare into a crystal ball and only see the past. Into the caverns of tomorrow with just our flashlights and our love. We must plunge, we must plunge, we must plunge. And then we'll get down there, way down to the very bottom of everything. And then we'll see it, oh we'll see it, we'll see it, we'll see it. Oh my morning's coming back, the whole world's waking up. All the city buses swimming past. I'm happy just because I found out I am really no one.
Well, welcome back from our break. Thanks again to Lauren and Katie for coming out to appear on the show today. We certainly learned quite a bit about what they did with the conference and what they're planning to do in the future with their literature review. So if any of that sound interesting to you, you could always get involved with Pro Bono Students Canada yourself if you're a law student. And if you want to learn more about social justice careers, possibilities for your future, you can always talk to Katie.
Mm-hmm, just like go knock on her door, so. Don't bother her.
She won't mind. It's always helpful to talk to our career counselors there. So, and I'm just looking over the brochure that Lauren created for the conference, and it's very detailed.
She did, like, kudos to Lauren.
Yeah, that's a really awesome. Good job. Like, all this information about different people working in Canada and around the world on legal areas, that social justice. Yeah, social justice legal areas. So it's also a really good resource just, like, to see contacts and people who might be in an area that you like.
For sure,
yeah. Are there, Marie, are there any, like, areas of social justice that interest you?
Yeah, definitely. So in my undergrad, I took criminology. And so I focused a lot of my research on drug offenders in the criminal justice system.
Okay.
So I feel like that really taught me to understand the individual struggles that these people face and their addictions. And so that quickly became a topic that I became very passionate about, just because, like, thinking about how many people incarcerated or individuals who go through the criminal justice system are drug offenders or have drug or alcohol addictions.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many. According to the Canadian Centre on Substance Abuse, approximately 51% of prisoners in federal correctional institutions have an alcohol problem.
Wow, that's that's quite high.
And 48% have problems with drugs other than alcohol. So yeah, I think that how that they're dealt with in our system, in our justice system, is a major social justice issue, because we're not always helping, like, treating them the way that they should be, in, like, a different way than the regular offender. So one particular area of research I looked into was Canada's drug treatment courts. Do you know anything about those?
I've heard a bit about the mental health courts. Is that related at all?
Yeah, so that would be, like, another, like, I think the general way that they're described are therapeutic courts.
Okay.
So there's separate ones for different things. So, yeah, the drug treatment court, referred to as the DTC, at the time of my research, there was 6 federally funded courts in Canada.
Okay.
And so basically they're a form of substance abuse intervention that operates within the criminal justice system as an alternative to incarceration for offenders that have an addiction related to their criminal activities. And so essentially the goal is to break the cycle of recidivism and drug use, but also to reduce the costs related to the overuse of prisons. And so, yeah, because predominantly drug policy in Canada and the States, it's been, like, quite punitive.
The war on drugs, as they call it,
yes. That's what they call it. And so the DTCs have been an effort to combine treatment and punishment to better respond to the conditions that these people are facing. And so, yeah, they've received a lot of support because of their rehabilitative approach, but they've also been subject to a lot of criticism. And I think this kind of goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning of our show, examples of things that are implemented that are not always as social justice focused as they should be. So they, like, on their face they are, but they're not always being implemented in the best ways that they can be. So yeah, I did a lot of research on that, and it can be frustrating because it's like they have these great ideas, and then when you see them being implemented, there's, like, these barriers to, like, true social justice.
So. Do you so I guess the idea is that drug abuse is a mental health issue, right? As opposed to perhaps a criminal issue? Is that the focus?
So okay. Just the idea is, like, that they're being faced with these additional struggles that, you know, addictions, you can't just turn it off, right?
Right.
So, I mean, and it's not, like, the punishment, or sorry, the offenses that these people who are in the system are committing are not, like, it's not, like, murder or things like that. It's more minor crimes that, things like that. So it's just a way to actually try to rehabilitate them rather than putting them through the system where they're, like, likely going to fall back into the same pattern. And so, yeah, there have been studies that have showed that these courts help. So they, like, reduce recidivism. But again, like, I'm not going to go through it all because there's a lot of information.
Oh, it's interesting. I like it.
But there's a lot of things that the way that they're implemented, they're holding it back from, like, actually making a difference. Like, there's a lot of restrictions on the
on individuals going through these courts that, like, they have to, like, abstain from their drug or alcohol use. And sometimes that's not always a reality, right?
Yeah, like, I can't imagine that'd be very difficult.
Yeah, like I said, you can't just turn off an addiction. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so there's been problems with that, because if they're shown to be using, then they'll, like, take them out of the program immediately sometimes. So, right. Yeah, that's an issue for sure.
And, like, how do you go about monitoring what someone does at home, you know?
I think they just do, like, drug tests. Like, they'll, you know, like, they have, like, checkups and stuff like that.
Ah, that makes sense. Yes.
Yeah.
Drug tests.
Yeah. Good yeah, idea. No, no worries. But, yeah, so that's an area for me that I definitely think is important.
Yeah.
Because just look at the numbers. There's so many of them within our criminal justice system. So.
And it's a cycle, too, right? Like, it's not just within the person, but I think it's also a generational cycle.
Mm-hmm, exactly. For sure.
For example, I heard a lecture recently about one of the issues I talked about was fetal alcohol syndrome. So right. Fetal alcohol syndrome, like when the mother uses alcohol mm-hmm. while she's pregnant, there's a chance that the baby will develop that syndrome. And so that person, the baby, is more likely in their life to also become alcoholic. They have other issues like, you know, controlling themselves, issues with authority,
mm-hmm.
Stuff like that, issues concentrating. So it kind of lends itself to them also more likely to become part of that system.
Mm-hmm. And, you know? Like, addictions are, what's the word? Why can't I think of the word?
Complicated?
No. When it gets passed down.
Genetic?
Genetic, okay. Yeah.
There we go, yeah.
Addictions are genetic, so, like, some people are more predisposed.
So does the justice system punish people for their genetics?
Yeah.
Ooh. See, think about that.
Yeah. No, but seriously,
is it behavior controlled? Or I don't know. It's a bit philosophical.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's definitely something that I hold very important in my how I think of social justice.
Okay. Well, I think this just about concludes our show for today. Just a reminder to listeners that there is a silent auction hosted by Pro Bono Students Canada, and all proceeds go towards one of our projects. So it's a great cause. That is February 6th at 6 p.m. and at the Foundry.
And again, as usual, we just wanted to end with a quote.
What do you have for us today, Marie?
Well, in light of Martin Luther King Day, this is a quote by him. The ultimate tragedy is not the oppression and cruelty by the bad people, but the silence over that by the good people.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
It's a little food for thought.
Yeah, I think that really speaks to our whole social justice advocacy today. You know?
For sure. Because there's always going to be, you know, people doing bad things, but then there's a lot of people who can also stand up.
Mm-hmm. And that's the only way to fix the bad things, right? So.
Yeah, I think so anyway. After you know, all the speakers at the conference today, and after talking with our volunteers and the social justice career coordinator, definitely sounds like, you know, trying to pursue a career in the social justice area, or at least with that mindset,
exactly,
could be very helpful.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So thank you again for tuning in. You can listen to CJAM 99.1 anywhere and anytime by going to cjam.ca, or you can follow them on social media. And this is Magna Carta Pro Bono Radio. Catch us next week, Friday, from 12 to 1 p.m. And Brandon and Graham will be speaking about the Pro Bono Students Canada project with the Windsor Youth Centre. Which is all about understanding rental agreements. So that should be interesting. And so, yeah, my name is Marie. It was a pleasure being on here today.
And my name is Erin. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
say it's gonna put some love in your life. Don't you really wanna know how it feels? Everybody wanna see what it's like, but even wanna be inside, it ain't last. We all know there's better things in this life.